I know that there are times that we can move into different parts of the scriptures and different texts and different directions and avenues. I'm going to begin with the same verse of scripture in Ephesians chapter 3 that I have used for several services or for several lessons. I'm going to use that again for a particular purpose and a particular reason. I don't feel that we've squeezed it all, and when I move on to a different chapter and a different verse, I will assure you that I still will not have squeezed everything out of this particular passage. But there's some depthness here, something that will benefit every single one of us as God opens and unfolds the things of His Word into our lives. I know He will help us to embrace what encouragement and empowerment that He has for us through a word. Amen? I just want to be equal to the task at hand. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, I love that. That is a powerful verse thus far. But the next part of this verse is what really speaks volumes as to the mind of God. So far, it's what He's going to do and what we're going to think and what we're going to ask. Not a lot of effort, is it? But the next part of it places responsibility squarely upon our shoulders. According to the power that worketh in us. I have spent some time dealing with and bringing to your minds and your lives the stories of Gideon and the stories of Samson. I do love those stories. I realize there's some tragic happenings in each, but there's also some blessed happenings in each. And as I look at these things, I'm going to visit those just briefly, and we're going to move into some new territory. A few years ago, you would have seen, and some of you may have even done this in your life, but you would have known what it was like to plow new ground. Anybody ever done that? You got to dig around some roots and get the stumps out, and when you plow a new ground, it's a little rougher. All right, we're going to cover some new ground today, and I'll try not to be too slow to start. But if you're not careful, the roots as you cut them will, if you're following, anybody ever followed a horse or a mule plowing? I know I'm not that old, okay? But I've done it. I'm really not that old, but I have done that. Let me tell you what'll happen. Those roots will come back and slap your shins a time or two, won't they? They'll get you. We're gonna try to ward against that, but we're going to plow some new ground. In other words, in more, shall we say, present day vernacular, we're gonna cover some new territory. We're gonna explore, but don't get the nicety of those words to take away the intensity of the power. Because when you're covering new territory, anybody ever driven somewhere and you just didn't know right where you were going and you got turned off on the wrong road? I've done it. It changes the perspective, doesn't it? That's what we're going to do today. We're going to see some new territory in the Word of God. I love the story of Gideon I love the story of Samson. And if you were to take the writing of Hebrews and you would read in Hebrews 11, it tells us some very good things. But at the latter part of that chapter, it starts throwing out names. And Gideon's one of them, but it throws in there Barak. And it names off of all several different ones. And then it says, but the world couldn't contain all of the books. If you were to start going in another place, it talks about this in the last of John. It talks about the books, if they were written about Christ and then all of the happenings. But then in Hebrews, it tells us this. It tells us that there's so many more that time wouldn't allow us to tell about all of the people that have received their dead back to life. Remember that chapter, Hebrews 11. Oh, I know we like to start off with it. Hebrews 11 and 1, we love that word faith. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for. We know that verse, don't we? It's the evidence of things not seen. We also know that by faith, the elders received a good report. I'm thankful for that. But then you go through this chapter and you see all of the different ones that are mentioned. And we remember their names. Abram, Abraham, Moses, Sarah. We remember these names. But then at the latter part of that chapter, it starts talking about all of these different ones. And it doesn't call them by name. It says time doesn't allow us to know, be able to tell all of these names. Well, I want to take your mind just briefly to those people. Because everybody that were victorious in the scripture didn't have their name in headlines. I really like the story of Gideon. But let me tell you the little detail of the story of Gideon. There were 300 that went to fight a battle that didn't have a sword. They had enough faith in God. From the word of the mouth of Gideon, he had a connection with God. And his visit with God imparted unto him and stirred within his spirit enough anointing that he dispersed it among those 300. And they were awakened enough to say, I'll go with you. Oh, I know we had to go through a selection process and God gave him some ideas about what to look for. Look at and see which ones are drinking and eating, or drinking and watching and looking around instead of the ones that just laid their face right over in the water. I know you probably have never done this, but where I grew up, we had, I lived out in the country, and we had about just completely surrounding us about 12,000 acres. Of just nothing, okay? Just timber, that's all it was. About 12,000 acres. Lots and lots of wilderness. There wasn't too many miles away from us, there was a big prison. Anybody that ever escaped from that prison, they always came to that part of the country. A couple of them lived and hid out there for several months. Because they could. Well, in that process of growing up, I can remember exploring that territory. Would walk for hours at a time. And growing up, I didn't have these ATV things. And I had a pony. That was the four-wheeler I had. I had a mule. But for hours we could walk, and you would get tired and you would get thirsty and you'd find a spring of water. Anybody ever drink out of a spring? Just bubbling right out of the ground, and I mean, you just, it's just hard to beat that kind of water, isn't it? There's nothing been added to it, and nothing been taken away from it. It's just coming right out of God's earth. Well, Gideon had been given some directives on how to watch, and he said, you watch these guys, they're thirsty, and if they're picking it up and they're coming out of their hands and they're looking around, he said, that's the ones you take. People that are observant. We don't know the names of those 300, do we? Even the enemy, the Midianites, had a visit from God at some point in time, and the name Gideon had been spread abroad. It had made the headlines, and one of them had a dream of a barley cake, and somebody that was in the same little area, because Gideon had come to get a word from God, and he goes to the camp of the enemy to get the word from God. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Let me just be honest with you and drop this little tidbit with you today. The enemy knows how strong you are better than you do. Can I remind you of a scripture that I read at the beginning? According to the power that worketh within you. So Gideon goes down, and one of them says, I had the craziest dreams. Anybody ever had crazy dreams? I know, sometimes just because you ate too much spaghetti and pizza and too big of a hamburger. Sometimes I realize, but sometimes God will visit you in the middle of the night. And he said, what was your dream? His buddy said, and he said, well, I dreamed that a barley cake come off of that hill, rolled right down here, and run right over this tent and just ran right through it. Just don't make a lot of sense. But all of a sudden, God made a connection in that buddy's mind that heard that dream. He said, that's none other than the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. That was pretty far stretch, wasn't it? But let me tell you something. They knew the name of Gideon. They didn't know the name of the 300. Let me show you something else. The angel of the Lord that had come and visited Gideon, he said, you're going to smite the Midianites as one man. He didn't mean he would be alone, because he already knew how many was going to be there. He was showing him the power of unity. They were going to be together. Ladies and gentlemen, what I want to submit to you today is that the way God works is we are finding in the scriptures how that a transition in time came. Because there were about 120 gathered. This is Acts 2. You know this story? In the upper room, and they were in one mind and one accord. God knows how unity works. We may not know the 300 and their names, but we know what they did. We don't need to worry about their names. We need to understand what they did. Can I tell you something? There was the same power. This is where it gets very interesting to me. Gideon had become a distributor, a dispenser of the power of God. He said, when the angel said, you're a mighty man of valor, he said, if I'm God be with us, then where's all the miracles of our forefathers? And in other words that we can interpret, he said, they're in you. Gideon began to speak a word, and it changed the course of a nation. It started with somebody in obscurity. It started in somebody that had absolutely no connections to the political persuasions of that day. There was no way under the sun for one man to be able to overcome the obstructions that had become a part of their life for 70 years. Without the power that works within him. That's what I want to talk to us today about. How do we work the win? How do we work it? You know, it's not about us, is it? It's not about our names. It's not about who we are. It's about who God is. And here's where that we are able to be to stand in the face of adversity and be an overcomer because of who he is. The God that the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. He's the one that said, I'm with you, but I shall be in you. I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I came unto my own, but my own didn't receive me. But to those that did receive me, I'm going to give you the power to become. To become. Let me tell you how those 300 that joined themselves to Gideon became. I'll tell you how they become. They become a part of that power simply because of the unification of the spirit of anointing that Gideon dispensed to him through the word. He said, here's what we're going to do, guys. You say, oh, but this is not scripture. Let me tell you, he wasn't up there preaching a message. No, he was giving them a word from God, ladies and gentlemen. What they did with it is what made the impact of the message in their life. It's how they received it and how they responded to it was what changed how it impacted their life and how they became a part of something that was even greater than them. Can I just tell you, if we look around us, the enemy has come in like a flood. It really has. And really and truly, if we look at all of the situations of life that are happening around us, there's really not a lot of hope if we look at it in this life only. Is that what Paul said? He said, if I had hope in this life only, I'd be of all men most miserable. I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, if this is the hope that we have, we're in poor, poor shape today. And they had gotten to be just as dejected and rejected and overwhelmed as we get today when we look around and we hear this and we hear that and nobody's held accountable. How many has that same kind of frustration? Do you know everywhere I go, it doesn't matter if it's in Walmart, it doesn't matter where I'm at. Ask my wife. Wherever we're at, somebody will just all of a sudden pipe up and start talking. Just randomly start talking to me and her. And they will just walking down. I'm minding my own business driving this little cart down here. And I'm trying to look for oats. I'm trying to look for Davy cakes. And I'm just minding my own business. And somebody just all of a sudden starts piping up and starts talking. And they start talking about the shape that our nation is in. Get to the checkout line and somebody comes up walking right up behind me. And just, I don't know these people. I don't know who they are. But it doesn't matter. Let me tell you, they are looking around us and they are seeing the hopelessness of the situation that we're in. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in some terrible, tough times, aren't we? And it looks like that no one, if they're supposed to be held to a higher standard, they just change the standards. It's happening, isn't it? And if you talk against them, you're the culprit. If you call their hand to what they're doing and say, oh, that's illegal, they just change the law and make it you are the one illegal. If I weren't smiling, we'd be crying right now, wouldn't we? That's why I'm keeping a smile on my face. Because this is where we are. About the time that we think we're going to get ahead, we go to try to buy groceries. And what we could buy just a few months ago is costing us twice and three times as much. My God, Dad, chickens haven't quit laying eggs, but they've just went out the roof. The prices of them. The cows, do you know if we... Let me tell you, this is sad, but this is true. This happens. They put the people that are in leadership put a certain amount of milk that can be produced from a dairy. And if you produce more than what your allotment is, you got to pour it out. You can't sell it. Oh, this is the truth. I'm not making this stuff up. If you're a farmer and you've got good cropland and you produce more than what they have given you a subscript to produce, they fine you. You're in trouble. We don't have a real food crisis. We've got a leadership crisis, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not here getting political. This has nothing to do with politics. This has everything to do with good and evil. One man looked at me just last night and said, you know, it almost feels like that they don't want us to make it. And a lady in front of me looked at him and looked at me and said, that's exactly the way I feel. And you know what my response was? That's exactly what their intention is. They don't want you to make it. Now, where did all this come in at? I'm going to tell you where it all come in at. This is where we are right now in life. This is not new to the people of God. This kind of situation is not new to God. Mm-mm. This is a recurring theme. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. That's what the Bible says. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Amen. Terrible, terrible thing happens. And there was a famine that was going to come. It hadn't happened yet, but it was going to happen. But nobody knew about this famine, so nobody knew how to prepare for this famine. But there just happened to be a man that had a dream years and years ago that was in prison because of doing good. Somebody lied on him. Didn't like his response to their advancements. It was a woman. It was another man's wife. Her husband's name was Potiphar. And this young man's name was Joseph. And he was a really well upstanding kind of guy. And he knew how to keep his integrity. And she come with advancements. And he said, no. Not going to have it. So she just made up some good stuff and ripped his cloak and lied about him and wound up in jail. Well, it looked really bad because his brothers had already sold him and convinced his dad that he was dead. But he didn't realize that all of this was taking place to get him in the right position. Because there was a famine coming. And God had anointed this young man to be an instrument of God. king had a dream. He couldn't figure it out. Guess what? There's a man down in prison who knows the answer to this. I remember my faults. Isn't it funny how people just forget out who you are when they just go somewhere else? They forget who you are. He had gotten himself restored back to his former estate, and his buddy had gotten himself hung in his head. I mean, he was the cupbearer. He was the man that had the ear of the king. And finally, one day, the king had that dream. He said, I remember something. I remember my faults. You don't need to be troubled about this. There's a young man. He's in prison. He knows how to tell you what's going to happen. He can tell you about this dream. So he gets him all cleaned up, and he brings him in front of the throne, and he says, hey, I dreamed there was kine as a word in the Bible for cattle. It's a cow. He said, I dreamed that there were seven fat kine out here, and I had seven old, rough-looking, terrible, scrawny-looking cows. And they ate up the fat ones. And Joseph looked at him. Immediately he knew, because God had given him some understanding of the times. And he said, you know, there's 7 years of plenty, and then there's 7 years of famine. You better take some of the 7 years of plenty and lay them aside for the 7 years of famine. And make up a little savings account, if you will. Let's get a stockpile going on. Because there's a rainy day coming, and you're not going to have this coming in. So you got to be prepared for it. He said, you better find you should pick you out a good wise man to get this headed up. And the man that was on the throne, he realized the limitations of his knowledge. And he said, you know, I don't know of a wiser man than the one right in front of me. Joseph, let's move you up here. You set this in order. And do you know he set some things in order that are still a structure of things that we use in developed worlds today? Did you realize that? The tax structure is loosely based on what Joseph put in place. Do you know why? Because he was a man that had a connection with God. Now, I'm going to talk to you just a few moments about that. And I realize that we think, okay, well, times are changing. And let me tell you something. Our lives change, but God is not a servant to time. He created time for us. For us to be measured by. It don't mean anything to God. You know why? Because God is above it all. He is through it all. He is in you all, according to the power that worketh within you. I understand that if we listen to the pundits today of today's society, they are predicting all of this thing. And you know why? Let me tell you why they're predicting this and predicting that and predicting that. Because they're playing God. They have no concern over our lives. That doesn't mean a thing to them of whether we live or die. You know, they have their ideas, and their ideology is there's too much population right now, so we're going to have to get rid of some. And we're going to do it the way we're going to control them is through the food process. I can go into depth with that one if you want me to. Do you know this is not just about in the United States? They're doing this in France. There's millions marching in the streets right now in France, but our media won't tell us about it. Do you know right now they're shutting down in other countries? They're taken by eminent domain, if you will. 3,000 farms at a time. Do you know why? Because they're producing food for people to eat, and they can't control people that are not hungry. Oh, you know, I know what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not up here beating the air wildly. I'm telling you, perilous times are here. Just because we're going to the grocery store and able to find what we're needing to find at the moment. The only reason we are is to keep us from having civil uprisings right now among good people. That's the only reason it's still on the grocery shelves right now. That's it. That's the only reason. Because they have complete and total control of our supply chains. Let me tell you something. Do you know in the construction industry right now, and I know, I'm not leaving the word. I'm not leaving this. I'm just letting you understand where we are right now. Do you know right now that our power grid, they're trying to get us to buy all these electric cars, and you know you can't even buy, you cannot buy for love nor money a transformer for a setting up in for a house to get power. Did you know that? You know what they tell us right now? I got an email just this past week because I reached out to some people that are high up in these power grid situations, and I said I would like to know what the status is on how I can get some transformers. I've got several different projects that are going to need some. We're talking about 30, 40, 50 transformers per project, and I'm going to need some transformers, and I'd like to know what her status is on how to get these. I got an email Friday. We don't know when we can get these transformers. You know why they want us to buy electric cars? They can cut our electricity off anytime and tell us we can't go somewhere. That's exactly why. They may come get me for saying this right now. Come on. You know why? Because I'm not afraid. I'm telling you why. Here's why, right here, because of the power that works within us. Because of the power that works within us. It is not about that time needs to change. It is about somebody that needs to step up. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when Gideon stepped out there, it didn't come with a great big powerful army. It came with nothing but dropping a word to 300 men and saying, if you'll take a pitcher and you'll take a lamp and you'll take some oil and you'll put it in there and you take that lamp, and when I light mine, you light yours. When I break my pitcher, you light yours. When I blow my trumpet, you blow yours. If you'll just follow the word, you'll find deliverance is in obedience of the word. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here today to declare to you that deliverance is an obedience to the word. You say, oh, but my opinion is here and my opinion is there. I want to tell you something. Moses had some good word of God, and all of a sudden the power of God was there, and here was a serpent come through, and some people started getting bit by this fiery serpent and people started dying, and God said, Moses, you take a serpent and you put it upon a staff, a golden one, and you get everybody watching, looking at it, and if he looks at it, they're going to be healed, and it began to happen. Well, people got so enamored with the process of God that they began to make that their God, and that became a tradition to them, and they began to worship a tradition instead of a word from God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what Hebrews chapter 1 says. God, who at sundry times and divers manners. Do you know he changes manners when time changes for us? He may speak with a serpent on a pole in the time of Moses, but he may use a trumpet and a lamp in the time of Gideon. He may take a sling and a stone in the time of David, and he may take somebody just telling us we need to lay up in store in the time of Joseph. Ladies and gentlemen, this is 2023, and God is still the same, but there is different times and different manners of his workings. At sundry times, at different times, and at different manners. You ever heard this? Desperate times require. Desperate times calls for desperate measures. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I'm not protesting one government over another. I'm not putting a face on the enemy. It is not who's in office that is against us, ladies and gentlemen. It is the powers of hell that is. You know what the devil said to Jesus when, and this, you can find this in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. And Jesus was led away of the Spirit or of the Holy Ghost to be tempted.
That's what the Bible says.
Only one place it records this particular statement of the devil. He took him up on an exceeding high mountain, and he showed him the kingdoms of the earth. And he said to him, pay very close attention, this is good stuff. If you will bow down and worship, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Now Matthew says that, and Luke says that. But the next part, it's not in Matthew, but it's in Luke. He said, for it has been given unto me this power, and I give it to whom I will. Do you want me to pull over there and read it to you? You can go to the bank on that one. It's in there. So when I begin to look at that and I wonder, okay, where did he come up with this? Where did the devil come up with this power to build kingdoms? He said, all these kingdoms are mine. And I'll give them to you if you just bow down and worship me. Because this power has been given to me. And I give it to whom I will. I mean, you believe the word, don't you? I'll tell you where it was given to him. It was given to him in the very beginning of time when he came along and started talking to Adam and Eve, because God had told Adam, he said, I've given you dominion over everything. Everything. Fowl of the air, things that creepeth. Every being in the air, on the earth, everything. I've given you this dominion. Do you know how the devil got it? He beguiled Eve. And he said, God don't want you to eat of this, because he knows when you do, you're going to become as gods, knowing good and evil. Mankind traded dominion for something that he focused his mind on that he didn't have. He had everything else. Everything. It was within his power. But God said, don't touch it. Don't eat of it. And the devil knew that if he could ever get man's eyes off of what he was. Do you know what the Bible says? He said he put man eastward in that garden to dress that garden. Do you know that word dress came from, it was translated from the Hebrew meaning to worship in that garden, to take care of that garden. That was his job. That was dominion. You have over everything. Man got his mind focused on what he didn't have, and he gave up what he had to get a taste of what he didn't have. And God said, from now on, you're going to be getting it by the sweat of your brow. I know when we get to Noah and the ark, and he comes off of it, God looks at Noah and he says, no longer will I curse the ground for man's sake. Not going to do it. Change that curse. Man had been designed to live forever, but he didn't, because he traded it. And the devil had dominion then. And God said, I'm tired of it. I'm going to make a way possible for humanity. My crowning jewel. I am going to make a way possible for him to have dominion yet again. And he died on a cross. And he went to the grave. And when he rose on that third day, he done it so you and I could have dominion. And he said, now I've given you the keys to the kingdom. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against you. Where you have been limited, I'm telling you, I'm taking the limits off of it. The gates of hell, what he's had dominion over, he don't have dominion over any longer. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not protesting a physical government that we have on this earth. I'm telling you there are some spiritual wickedness in high places. And I am taking a stand today. And I'm telling you, no matter where it is, if it's in another part of the world, we're bringing it down. I'll tell you why we're bringing it down. Because it's just as Gideon said, I just got a word from God. Just as David said, I got a word from God. You listen to this little boy from back in the woods, country of Tennessee and North Alabama today. I got a word from God. And the word from God is, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They may think they've got it all planned out, but they haven't taken into consideration a word from God. And when a word from God comes, a donkey can talk. When a word from God comes, a storm has to cease. The waves of an ocean just smooth out. When a word from God comes, a nation that had been turned into hell will all of a sudden turn to God. I just got a word from God, ladies and gentlemen. Gideon, they don't nobody know you. They don't have to know me. But they that do know their God. Oh my God. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That's what the word says. Whatever you bind on earth. I'm in the word today. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. It shall be. I'm going to back it up. You know why? Because there's a different time, requires some different approaches. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, he spoke to us through the prophets in the old times. But now he has spoken to us through Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I just come to you today, not in any other approach, but in the name of the Lord God of Israel. I stand before you to let you understand there is something that is working within you that is greater than the powers of hell. They cannot change the direction of God, but we can change the course of a nation by just a word. This is how you work the wind, right here. This is it. This is how it happens, right here. Stand. My God, I'm not done, but I'm done. I'll quit. Oh God, as we humbly stand before you and your people, let heaven hear and respond to what you've given to us today. As hell rattles the chains of death, let us remind him that he has no power over us. And all that believe it, say amen.